and Tom Brady's Joffrey.
We have three prospects that we would go for.
Your item,
like you're leaving. No, like you're leaving the supermarket, and like can't you forgot your item?
Shout out to grandpas. What's up, draft nerds? Thanks for joining us today. My name's Ken Swanson. I'm one of the writers of Arrowhead Pride. This is the AP Chiefs Draft Show, and we are 35 days away from the Chiefs making their first pick in the NFL Draft. It might just be 34. We'll talk about that a little bit here. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host on this show. You can find him on Twitter at Jacob Morley. Jake, a very merry draftmas to you, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah, merry draftmas. We're getting closer. Almost a month. Almost.
Yeah, and you know, free agency is kind of in our rearview mirror.
Yeah.
We're really close
first
to...
The first wave's over.
And, I mean, there's really nothing separating us now on the NFL calendar between here and the draft.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of full on into it. Like if Thanksgiving is the kind of the official unofficial start of Christmas season, I think the right after the first wave of free agency is pretty much the full on draftmas season at this point, right?
Well, yeah, because free agency is. It's the turkey. It's the dressing. You know, like you get that stuff. You get to see your family. All that is good. You like it a lot, but it's not quite Christmas.
It's not quite Christmas.
It's not quite as good.
Yeah, it's not as new and as fresh because you're getting, you know, you're seeing old friends. Mm-hmm. You're bringing old friends home.
You've done Thanksgiving before. You've done it. You know, like you know what to expect.
Every Christmas is new.
Every Christmas brings something new.
And draftmas is no different. Like how a kid feels at Christmas time is how guys like me and Jake feel about the draft. And we're really excited to continue to provide you some draft content here. And we've got a lot of content just in general that that Arrowhead Pride's got going on right now. We've got our show. We got three different podcasts. The Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network has launched, and we've got three different shows that are all going right now. Our show's on Friday. On Wednesday, you've got Joel, Pete Sweeney, Sean Barber with the Arrowhead Pride podcast. And on Mondays, you're going to have the Chief in the North. And I almost want to call it like the Chief in the North. Like every time I hear that name, I always wind up thinking of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I think that's the idea, right?
It has to be. I think I might have asked Seth at one point.
You know, and I think you could compare Game of Thrones to the NFL in a couple ways.
Oh, really?
You know, I was just thinking, you know, with free agency being over, one really big marquee guy that's still out there is Ndamukong Suh. And
Where are you going with this?
Bear with me.
Okay.
So Braun is a sellsword, right? You can basically pay him money to fight for you. And I kind of feel like that's Ndamukong Suh. Like, if the money's right, like, he has no loyalty at all.
He's just trying to get paid.
He's trying to get paid. And he'll go out there. He's good. You know, he's a good fighter. He's a good player. But he just wants to get that money.
Dude, you know... So the Mountain, and if any of you guys don't know what Game of Thrones is or have watched Game of Thrones, that's okay. We'll get back to real football talk in a minute. But did you know the Mountain, like the Colts tried to sign him to play nose tackle?
Well, he's huge.
He's like 6'9", 420 pounds.
Yeah. And Tom Brady's Joffrey. Let's just get that real. Let's just get that clear. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah. But weren't the Mountain and Joffrey kind of on the same side?
Kind of in cahoots. Yeah.
That's okay. This doesn't have to be a perfect analogy. Could you imagine, like, if the Mountain was playing nose tackle? Like, he doesn't even have to be good. He's just such a massive human being. Like teams two gap. Like, I'm pretty sure the Mountain could four gap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he would just be, like, he's a two down guy. He's not going to get much pass rush productivity. But
he'd probably be a dancing bear.
He would be, and he's definitely got a bubble.
He's got a bubble. He's body beautiful.
He's
the guy we've been looking for to make that comparison
got every,
with.
He's got every scouting term you could imagine. I just hope he.
And now he's dead, but is he dead? He's not actually dead. I don't know. If you haven't watched it, spoiler alert, sorry. It's over a year old, though, so.
Oh, it's all right. I didn't get into it for a long time, so. It's no big deal. We've got a lot of real football
moving
talk.
On.
Yeah, no, seriously. We've got a lot of football talk now to talk about because we're full into draftmas season. I wrote an article this week on Arrowhead Pride kind of talking about one interesting tweet from my guy, Terez Paylor, the corporate champ. He heard from Aunt David Amerson. David Amerson said when they were working to sign him that they mentioned, you know, we're going to press 90% of the time. It's kind of a little bit more back to some of the roots of the successful Bob Sutton defenses. So we're looking at, we're probably going to be looking at a lot more press scheme. And I think there's a couple guys that could be immense value as press corners. And we're going to kind of talk about the guys I wrote about on Arrowhead Pride. You can see that article on here. So you guys, if you read that article, you know what I'm going to talk about. We're going to go a little more in depth on him. And I kind of want to hear what Jake has to say about him. The first one, Holton Hill. He's 6'2", 196 pounds from Texas. And he's kind of an interesting guy because he's got immense talent. He was kicked off the Texas football team.
Sound familiar?
Who?
I don't know.
Just in general? Okay. I mean, yeah, there's probably been a few of those guys.
Are you being serious? Who else was kicked off their team that had a lot of talent, but the Chiefs still draft him in the first round?
On Texas?
No, from Washington.
Oh.
What do you mean?
No, I'm a dense human. Okay, I thought you were talking about Texas specifically.
No. It's...
Yeah, no, this is kind of another a risk that they could potentially take, although I don't think it would be in the first round. But his name is Holton Hill, 6'2", 196 pounds. Drug-related issues is why he is kind of fell in the draft. But he's really intriguing as a press corner, Jake.
Yeah, no, he's super talented. I actually have a first-round grade on him.
Wow. Wait, so hold on. Me and Jake haven't talked yet. Like, sometimes we kind of keep some of these prospect conversations fresh. A first-round grade,
it's a late first.
Still, that's awesome.
But I think he's just as talented. And he's like almost 6'2", and he moves like he's a much shorter corner. He doesn't have those problems like bigger corners typically have. He's super like physical, and he's super instinctive. He's one of those guys that just flashes onto the screen.
Yep.
If you're just watching like the broadcast version, and there's a guy in the open field, number five just cuts people down. I really like him. He's a physical guy. His press technique is really good.
Yeah,
but
and that's no, one of the things. Well, that's one of the things. Like I was immediately drawn to is that the other thing is like it's just as far as just like not just his ability to press, but like his ability to play in kind of a man scheme like that. Like one of the things I thought was just so impressive with him was his ability to kind of run through like rub routes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like he played those perfectly. There was a couple times like on a fourth down and three against USC, he sorted through the rub play and stopped him behind the line of scrimmage. I was super impressed with his ability in those tight spaces in man, just kind of good spatial awareness and his ability to press. He's a great kind of prospect in that regard.
Yeah, I just love his like change of direction and how springy of an athlete he is. He's really fun to watch. He's one of those corners that's the first thing that pops out at you is his athleticism. He tested okay at the combine, around like a 4.49, and that's about right, you know, for a guy that's his size and physical. But just his quickness, I really think the way he changes directions is borderline special, and he kind of almost reminded me of a bigger Denzel Ward. Denzel Ward's awesome. He's not as good as him, but just the way he moves and the way he can sit in a guy's hip pocket, that's why I like him a lot, because I think he can press, but I think he's really scheme versatile as well.
There's a guy, you know, okay, Honey Badger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of gonna compare him to Honey Badger, not from a positional standpoint or anything like that, but just work with me for a second here. Holton Hill, he's got some off-field issues. He's got some drug-related issues the same way that the Honey Badger did. But when you watch the Honey Badger play and when you watch Holton Hill play, you don't see a guy that shows up with red flags. Like, as far as on-the-field football character, his ability to play, his willingness to tackle, his aggressiveness, the way he attacks the game, you don't see a guy that has off-field concerns. It's kind of one of those interesting things, because sometimes you can tell when a guy's got some off-field issues based on some of the things he does on the field. I don't see that with Holton Hill. It's just an issue of, can he get his life kind of organized outside of the football field?
Yeah, I think Tyrann Mathieu is maybe an exception to the rule. typically with guys when they have problems in college, a lot of times it carries over. I'm kind of being kind of jaded on that, but
right.
I'm always going to err on the side of caution with prospects. Whenever a guy has any kind of red flag, I don't really like it when my team takes them, just because it makes me nervous, and it's just like, okay, when's this going to rear its head? But you're right, he's only 20 years old.
Yeah.
So he's young. He can still figure it out, and I hope he does for his sake, because the world's his, like, he's as talented as, I mean, he's got everything he want, you know, so the world, everything's laid out in front of him. It's going to be up to him whether or not he wants to be a good player, because he absolutely has the talent.
And this isn't me saying that he's going to be able to do what the Honey Badger has been able to do in kind
you're
of...
talking like a, from like a personality.
Just like if you watch him on the field and like that kind of talent kind of went...
His mentality is similar on the field.
Mentality, yeah. The way he plays the game... You think that they're going to be able to correct the things that they're struggling with off the field that are keeping them from getting to do what they love.
Yeah.
And that's where it's just kind of interesting for me to see is like, how does he get valued? On tape, I have him as a second round pick.
And disclaimer, we don't know these guys
right.
at all.
Right.
But when you watch Holton Hill, he makes plays where you go, Holton Hill, holy Hill.
Oh my gosh.
See what I just did there?
Oh man.
Segue that into our next prospect that we're going to talk about, who also has a pretty interesting name, and I don't know how to say it.
Is Isaac Yiadom.
I think that's wrong.
Yeah,
I think that's wrong.
Yiadom.
I'm going to Google that. You just talk about Isaac Y.
Y-A-D-O-M. Yiadom. 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 I don't know.
I got it. Okay. Here is the pronunciation guide. It's loading. Here's the pronunciation guide from Boston College. Isaac Yiadom.
Your item.
Like you're leaving. No, like you're leaving the supermarket and like, can't you forgot your item? Like, that's how you say it. Your item.
Not your item. Not my item.
Isaac Yiadom.
Your item. Okay, well, anyways, so after, you know, a minute of trying to pronounce his name, 6'6", 190 pounds from Boston College, Massachusetts native, and played at the Senior Bowl, had 28 starts under his belt. This guy is an immense value. When you're looking at teams that are interested in press corners,
he's ready to. I think he's ready to play right now too. He was well coached, and that's the first thing that stuck out to me was his press technique is really, really good. I mean, it's really developed. His hands, his hand placement, he doesn't miss very often. And I think he's the guy that knows his limitations and he knows what he does well. And he presses really well. He's got those long arms that you want. He doesn't panic if he does miss. He's not a great athlete that's going to have like the type of recovery ability to make up when he does miss. But he doesn't panic at least. And his, like I said, his hands are super consistent with where he's putting them. I liked him a lot, actually.
I did too. You know, him as like, I'm not sure like as far like he, his skill set might be more narrow than some guys, and his ability to translate to multiple schemes may not necessarily be the same as someone like Holton Hill or some of the other corners. However, when I watched him press, like he had some of the most impressive moments as a press corner. If you go to Arrowhead Pride and read the article, I normally provide at least one, like I kind of try to show one play to kind of cite an example of why this guy is someone I'm intrigued by. And he played a slant perfectly. Really, really impressive. Made a play on the ball. Balance, control. It was just really impressive. And he's a guy that I would be very interested the Chiefs to take a look at, because I don't think as many teams are going to value him the same way, because the press technique may not necessarily be something that, you know, 25 or 30 teams are, you know, looking at. It's probably going to be, you know, maybe 10 teams that are really intentional about finding a press corner.
Yeah. And well, there's one thing, and I don't like kind of going back to, I don't know this guy, I haven't talked to this guy, but he did things on tape that just make me think this, he's a smart football player and he watches a lot of film. Like there was one specific play where he's lined up and he knew before the snap that it was a screen. I think it was against Clemson, and he just went and blew the thing up. I mean from the get-go, like he just went and he knew exactly what they're running. And I like stuff like that, because it's like, okay, here's a guy that's going out there, he knows what he's doing. Because even like if you've ever coached at any level, you know that you can see stuff and you know that you studied it. But right. that doesn't mean it's getting to them. Right. You know, it doesn't right. mean it's going out there onto the field. And like, there are times where you want to pull your hair out and just be like, oh my gosh, like we talked about this all week. And so that was really cool to see from Yiadom that he went out there and he's putting his coaching into his play. And it's something he looks like he probably cares about quite a bit.
For sure. And he's not a perfect prospect. And I think that's partially what's so interesting to me about him is because I think there's a, like the Chiefs are the kind of team that can use his skill sets perfectly and maximize his ability. He's a little too handsy at times. He got lost on some rub routes. I don't really know. Like, I know he ran okay at the combine. I'm not sure his long speed's necessarily great. But as far as a guy that, like, I have a third round value on him right now. If the Chiefs were able to snag him in the late third or in the fourth round, I think that's value. That's you know, being able to take a guy that has talent that may not necessarily be perceived the same way that others might. And maximize his skill sets. So, you know, that's a guy I'm super interested in.
Yeah.
That's two guys that are, there's write-ups already on Arrowhead Pride available. You can go and read that. There's some GIFs, some visual examples of what we like about him. We're going to do a couple things we're going to do today. We've got a Chiefs mailbag that we're going to do later in the episode. And there's a one theme that kept showing up, and it was something that I was planning on us talking about on this show anyway this week. And I'll just go ahead and we'll answer the mailbag, but it's really, I mean, it's kind of an extensive review of three prospects answering this question. It's from CMoose at CMoose7, and we got a couple other people that asked similar questions to this. It's assuming Veach trades back into the first round, what would be the likely cost, and what players do you think he would go for? You know, I don't really know what he would go for, but we have three prospects that we would go for. Like, there's some guys that if we're assuming let's just have some fun today, and let's just assume that the Chiefs are trying to trade back into the back half, late first round of this draft. First off, the reason people are talking about that is because Brett Veach kind of alluded to it at one of his press conferences last week, just kind of said, hey, you know, who knows? Maybe by the end of this thing, we'll be sneaking into the first round of the draft anyway. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I don't know if that's feasible. But today we're going to look at three prospects that if the Chiefs decided that they wanted to move into the back half of the first round, prospects that we would be interested in them going after. I'm not really going to add these guys technically to the draft miss list, but we're going to talk about them anyway because they're guys I don't think really have a chance of falling to the Chiefs at 54. But if they're there late in the first round, I would be absolutely ecstatic for them to take a look at. And we'll just get into those real quick. The first one is Harold Landry. He's an edge prospect from Boston College. He is a teammate of Isaac.
Yiadom. Gotcha. Yiadom. Yeah.
2016 All-American. He was very productive in 2016. And then he got hurt and his production fell off. And I'll just be flat honest with you. I watched a lot of his 2017 tape on my first kind of analysis of him, and I kind of gave him like a late second round grade because he just didn't look as explosive as he did when I went back and watched after he blew up the combine on his 2016 tape. Jake, what do you think about Harold Landry as an edge prospect?
I've seen him everywhere. You know, I've seen him top 15. I've seen him mid second, and I think teams are kind of split because of kind of like how you honestly are, because his 16 tape and his 17 tape are just, they're different. They're very different. In 16, he looks like a top 10 player. He really does. I mean, he looks like a guy that's going to be like, wow, is this guy going to have a big senior year, test well, and be like a Von Miller type? But instead, he got hurt, did not look nearly as explosive, and that's his game. He's not a guy that's going to come in there and blow people up. He's definitely kind of that fluid, athletic edge player, and I think he proved that at the combine. I think he's a double-digit sack guy in the NFL, especially if he can get to his 16 tape. What's interesting about him is I don't know if they ever released what ankle was bothering him, but one note that I put on him specifically was he looked so much better in 17 rushing from the right side. So it makes me wonder, was it his left ankle? And maybe that's out there somewhere and someone can look that up. But I did a little bit of research and I couldn't find if they released what ankle it was.
Yeah.
He fights through blocks really well. He plays with good leverage. He's one of those guys that his hands are above his ears. He extends his arms really well. Hand placement's pretty consistent. Flexibility, balance, all real good. He had one play against Wake Forest in 17 that he still would flash in 17. He had a dip move against Wake that was disgusting. And he finished on it too, and he went and got a sack. And so there's flashes like that. Like, okay, that's the 16 Harold Landry.
Yep.
But it just wasn't there all the time in 17.
Yeah. So here's been my timeline with Harold Landry. I watched his 17 tape. I tried to judge him based on what I saw in 2016. And I saw a technician. I saw a guy that played with really good technique and leverage and had some moves and showed the ability to bend. But I didn't think he had an extra gear. I didn't mm-hmm. think he had burst. And then, you know, so the combine came and he blew it up. I mean, he had a fantastic combine. If you know anything, if you're a draft nerd, you probably know the name Justice Mosqueda. He has a force player metric, which is basically a density adjusted athletic score that is very predictive of successful edge prospects. And Harold Landry is one of the few force players in this draft.
Kylie Fitz was another one.
Our guy Kylie Fitz was another guy. Harold Landry, I went back because my concern was I watched his 17 tape, just basically saying I don't know if he's able to test at a high level, if he's going to be athletic. He proved that at the combine. So what I did is I went back and let the 2016 tape affect what I thought of him more. And he got a bump. He's kind of an early second round grade for me at this point because his athletic ability was there. He was a little bit more sudden. He was a little bit more explosive when I watched the 2016 tape. So I'm kind of trying to give him more of the benefit of the doubt when I watch his tape. Did you have any like big concerns about him?
Well, I think you already hit it, but it's so the first time I watched him, I only watched two of his 16 games, and I watched more since. But that's where I think my grade initially was a little bit higher than yours. I have a late first on him. But what the thing about him is, if he doesn't have that explosiveness, if he doesn't have that type of get off,
he's Derek Barnett.
Then he's like just a guy. Yeah, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
But that's what makes him. That's what separates him. And that's the fine line with edge rushers, anyways. And that's the fine line that makes you either. Frank Zombo is a nice player, but if you could give him
athletic
abilities, he'd be a really good player.
Right,
you know,
right.
And that's maybe. That's maybe not a great example.
No, fine. It's on brand. It's good.
Yeah, but it's just... And so if he doesn't have that, if he doesn't have the juice that he had in 16, then he has no business being a first-round pick. But if he does, then he should be a top 20 right. player. And I think that's where people are split on him.
And so, yeah, my confidence in his ability to be an athletic, powerful edge rusher wasn't high based on 17 tape. But it looks like he's kind of coming back into form based on what he did at the combine. And this is kind of just an example. You know, I don't use the combine to say, oh, he ran a 4.240. We should draft him. This isn't Tree Archer. This is... the tape shows a guy that struggled as an athlete. It might have been because he wasn't healthy. Now that he's healthy, if those athletic abilities are able to manifest themselves on tape or on the field.
And like when you watch 16, it does. And that's the connection is
right.
It does show up. It's not like he just blew up the combine and he's a good shorts athlete. Like he's a good athlete on the field.
And he's a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good football player. It was just, do you trust his athletic ability enough? And it looks like he's regained his form as an athlete. So if the Chiefs snuck into the end of round one, he's a guy I'm very interested in the Chiefs selecting. Would be very, very happy if he's there at like 31 or something and the Patriots aren't really interested in drafting in the first round. You know, they just love themselves some round three picks. We can give them a few. That's a guy I'd be excited about. Very excited about.
Harold Landry reminds me so much of a Patriot. though. I don't know why. He's 4 years senior
technician. Yeah. I mean, he's just plays with good technique. You know, he's a guy that probably would fit in really well there.
And that has nothing to do with anything other than like there's just some guys you look at and you're like, this looks like
he's from Boston. He plays in Boston.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
I think Harold Landry is a guy. If the Chiefs are serious about trading in the first round, man, he'd be a guy I'd be excited about. A couple more guys that would be very interesting to me. How about both corners? We talk a lot about corners lately, but you know, I think that's a position that very well the Chiefs could attack. And let's talk a little bit about Mike Hughes, 5'10", 189, Central Florida. He signed with UNC out of high school. He's there at North Carolina. Got in trouble, and there's gonna at some point in the next couple weeks. This is starting to get character leak season, mm-hmm. where you know the last month leading into the draft, you start hearing stuff, and kind of you know some things don't some ungood things will start coming out here. Mike Hughes, we might get some more backstory on him, and that could affect his draft stock eventually. He got in trouble at North Carolina. Wound up going to Garden City Community College and then finished his career for our national champion, the UCF Knights, Golden Knights.
We don't know, but they're the champs.
They're our champions. They're my national champs. I don't know about y'all, but he finished his career at UCF. Very, very good last year there. Jake, I think he's a pretty scrappy and physical kind of guy. That's kind of one of the things I liked about him.
Yeah, I put that his weigh-in would be really important, and he didn't blow anyone away. He's only 5'10", 189, smaller guy, plays a lot bigger, but he's a good player. He's another press corner. He's a press corner that I think can do more. I think if you want to play him in a press, he's probably going to be that's probably what you want to do. I think he can play a little bit of zone. I think he can play a little bit of man as well.
He doesn't have as narrow a skill set as like a guy like Isaac Yamama or Yadam or whatever.
Yeah, no, he's more scheme versatile, but he's another good springy athlete. Really good strike. He's got pretty powerful strike, and I could almost use the draft term of the week on him, but I'm going to save it for later.
Yeah, save that one.
So come back to him when I say it. So he's got good change of direction, offers some special team value. I think he returned punts for them. Really had a really nice season for them. He did struggle with my guy. Him and Anthony Miller had quite a good battle that I would say Anthony Miller, I would have given the
I'm going to try to keep us from talking from Anthony Miller just so like we can get out of here in time.
Anthony Miller's good.
That's your boy, man. That's your guy.
Well, I won't talk about him then. Yeah, we'll do a whole episode on him.
No, I'm telling you, I'm going to avoid him at all costs. I'm just going to make you like have to like start your own Periscope account or something.
The guy that the Chiefs need to take in the third or fourth. That would really put him over the top.
Yeah,
I'm just going to throw that out there.
25-year-old with a broken foot.
That's better than immediately be their best receiver.
Whew.
Immediately. Maybe not.
They spent $18 million on a...
Maybe not, but he's good. I forgot what I was saying.
Sorry, no, go.
That's what I liked about him. Things that kind of concern me a little bit is sometimes he gives up inside leverage, which is kind of concerning for a press corner. Sometimes he opens up his hips a little bit too soon. And I think some of that is also just, you know, he played like in three different programs in 3 years. So
he's in Kansas for a while.
And that stuff matters. It does. You're getting coached by three different coaching staff, so your technique's going to be a little bit different. Everyone's always a little bit different. So I think some of that kind of showed up. But like we said before, and we said a lot of guys, it's all fixable. He's a little bit small for my liking.
Yep.
And honestly, trading up for him, I don't know if he's not going to be there in the 50s.
Unless something with his character falls. Comes out. A lot of people have him as a late first round pick.
I wouldn't be surprised though.
Yeah, no, and I think that's kind of the thing with everybody. Like even when I'm building the draft miss list, there's some guys that are like fringe, and basically I think it depends on who you read. Like some guys, when I write about a prospect like Justin Reed, some people are like, oh, there's no chance he'll be there, and they might be true. It might be right, but it's kind of one of those things where you get a lot of varying opinions on where a guy's going to go. He's probably
he's in that gray area you don't really know.
You wouldn't be stunned if he's there, but everything you kind of hear seems to indicate he won't be. Mm-hmm. One thing, and just a couple of things that I saw with him I wasn't like a big fan of. I thought he struggled at times with some bigger receivers, kind of got bullied at the top of routes at times. That's one thing, you know, and that probably goes back to some of his, you know, size and frame issues. You can't change that. I mean, that's just always going to be there. But I have a second round grade, a pretty high second round grade on him. I think he might actually be in my top 32 prospects. I think I've told you this before. I don't necessarily have 32 first round grades. I think I'm in the 20s, somewhere the early 20s as far as first round prospects. So there's going to be guys with second round grades that go round one. That doesn't mean that they're not good players or good values at 30 or 25. You know, not every draft, in fact, most drafts aren't going to have 32 first round prospects. So Mike Hughes is a guy of a high second round, and I think he's a good player. If the Chiefs traded up for him, wouldn't be mad. Absolutely. I think he's, you know, a guy that's worth looking at. And we got one more prospect that I thought we should profile that I'd be interested in the Chiefs taking. And it's kind of one of the first guys that me and Jake watched this year when we started our draft process. And I had to go back and kind of watch him again because I really wanted to get a good feel about him before we talked. And I've watched a lot of games on him at this point. It's Isaiah Oliver, 6 foot, 201 pound cornerback as well from Colorado. He's actually a decathlete.
A good one. Like, he was nationally ranked in high school. He didn't do it in college, did he?
I think he might have, because maybe just in college. Yeah, he set a school record at Colorado.
You might be right.
Maybe early in his career, but you know, very good athlete, and it shows up on tape. He's kind of a bigger corner. And one of the things I don't know about you, Jake, when I watched him, I thought he was bigger than 6 foot.
So did I. And part of that is because I think he uses his length really well. My favorite thing about him is how well he defends the fade, and that's kind of what kind of made me think he was bigger than he was too, because he could go high point balls and compete with these bigger receivers. But some of that too is looking at my notes and watching him again, knowing like what his actual size is. He finds the ball really well, which you think like, oh, like duh, you can find the ball, but like that's a skill. Like, not all corners can do that well, can get their head around and locate the ball and get themselves in a position to make a play on it. So he does a really good job with that. He fights all the way to the ground to dislodge the ball too. Like, there are a couple times where the receiver had the ball, but because he has good tracking ability, he gets his hands in there and he will fight until they're on the ground to try to get that ball out, and he's successful at it.
Yeah.
He had a ton of pass deflections, but only had 3 picks in 2 years. So that's probably why he's playing defense, because it shows you, yes, he can find the ball. He can get his hands on it. He struggles to catch it, struggles to make the interception. But
he's active. He's also active with the ball. Like, yep. He's not gonna have ball production necessarily from an interception standpoint, but he did definitely play the ball extremely well. Mm-hmm. I'm dead on with you there. You know, I'm really glad that I went back and watched more of Isaiah Oliver. He's one of the guys we really watched a lot of early. It's kind of good always to go back and refresh. And I've been doing that a lot lately because, you know, we started our draft watching, kind of our grading process, we started in like November. Mm-hmm. So some guys, we needed a refresher course to get more, you know, get some refreshers on who he is. And there's a couple places in his grade that I wasn't completely fair to him, and I'm glad I went back and watched more. I watched the Colorado State game this last week or so, and it was probably one of my favorite games of his. If you go back and watch him in the Colorado State game, he flashed his long speed, flashed some ball skills, ability to make some, he made an incredible play downfield on a post. Really, really glad I went back and watched him a little bit more, especially knowing that the Chiefs are looking to go back to that press heavy scheme. He's a really, really good corner. He's probably going to be one of the 5 best corners in the draft whenever it's all said and done for me on my board.
He's unrefined though too. Like, I think if you take him and you want him to play in the press, he can do it, but he's maybe not as close to being ready as some of these other guys are yet.
I think, I'm not sure, like, he'd be best served playing in a press scheme too.
Yeah, I like him, yeah, like, it's my notes are like, I like him best as in a press man scheme or like in a cover 2 type defense where he can be active with his hands and he can really try to reroute people. That's back when I thought he was like 6'1", 6'2", as well, but he still plays that well. And I guess, you know, if you really just go watch the tape, then he plays big, so yep. he might as well be. And he is big. He that 6 foot. That's a good size corner.
Yep. I think he's kind of trying to understand leverage, not just necessarily at the line of scrimmage, just even like when he's playing off coverage. Mm-hmm. Like I still think he's trying to understand how to use his length, how to use his athleticism, in, you know, with his leverage in off coverage. I think he gave up a little too much cushion at times, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see how he navigates through that. He's a guy, man. You're talking about aligning, you know, a player with what the Chiefs do. And that's really, I mean, honestly, that's what we're all here to do. Like, you know, trying to find and understand players from a value perspective. And, you know, like Isaac Yamama earlier, Isaac Yadam. He's a guy.
Yadam.
Yadam. Not my Yadam.
He's going to listen to this and be upset that you're saying his name.
I hope he does. And Isaac, if you're listening, I'd love to have you on the podcast. We can learn how to pronounce your name. We can talk about how you like your barbecue. It'd be great. But, you know,
any prospect that wants to come on this show, you will get. Kent and I will personally take you out to any Kansas City barbecue place that you want to go to.
Except Gates.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't do that to you.
Nah, Gates is okay. But it's fine. It's
but it's not the best.
I'm not really going out of my way to eat Gates. Part of the thing, here's my thing with Gates. Some of their barbecue sauce tastes like Taco Bell taco sauce.
Which Taco Bell taco sauce is good.
It's very
if
good.
You're at Taco Bell.
You don't want it on some
if you're not mentally prepared for it, it's not good.
Gates is fine. I'm not trying to hate on Gates. I like Gates, but like it's
friends of the podcast, Gates Barbecue.
Not anymore. they're kinda down the list. Anyway, sorry. Isaac Yadam. Like guys like him. Narrower skill sets, maybe just maximizing their ability within the construct of the Chiefs, and that's the whole point of any scheme: is the good coaches, the good teams, they find ways to identify value based on what they do. Isaiah Oliver could be an incredible press corner and develop really well here in Kansas City. He's a guy I would be absolutely thrilled with if they took a look at him and traded up in round one for. I'd be completely fine with that.
He's a young guy too.
Is he? Mm-hmm. What's his age?
2021, I think.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, there's still some upside. You know, I like guys that are, a little bit on the young side whenever I'm looking at prospects. So there's three guys that I would be particularly interested in the Chiefs trading up for if they were to trade up. I'm not even necessarily saying that's something I would want to do. It's making things really interesting for us. It's giving us more things to talk about. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that. So we've got, thank you guys. We did a draft. We were doing an AP Chiefs draft show mailbag. And I thank you guys so much for asking all these questions. We have a lot of really, really good questions this week. We'll probably try to do that a couple times here before draft miss actually happens. And we're just going to go down the list and talk about a couple of these questions. And we'll go from there. So first question comes from the Chiefs fan 24 on Twitter. He said, am I the only one that thinks it's completely possible that the Chiefs really like one of the safeties in this draft? Seems like they have identified a couple guys and believe they will be there in the second, or like Veek suggested, could move to get one. A lot of this I think is coming from, you know, a lot of people are really stressed that the Chiefs haven't made any moves at the safety position at this point. Trey Boston's been thrown out a lot. The name Eric Reed's been thrown out a lot here in Kansas City. And I like both those players. Two things. I think there's probably some truth to what this guy, what Chiefs fan 24 is saying. I think that the safety class is incredibly good, and there's potential for the Chiefs to get value at 54.
Not later, too. This is a really deep class.
Yeah,
and
yeah, even later than second round. Yeah,
you can get. There's guys that'll be there in the third or fourth round that can come in and play for you and play good football. And you know, like you can't have an all pro at every position,
right?
And there are safeties in this class that. Like a guy like Quinn Blanding or Marcus Allen, like as we were talking about, them off air. Like they're not guys that are going to come in and blow your mind or anything, but they're going to be good players, and they're smart players, and they're going to be able to come in and play good football for you.
They have a role, and they could fill a role. You know, the two things with that. Eric Berry's back. So the safety position, Eric Berry's coming back. The other thing, one thing we heard when we were in Indianapolis for the combine is at least one person we talked to is not sure that Eric Murray isn't due for an improvement on his year last year. I wouldn't be surprised if Eric Murray. It sounded like Eric Murray cares about football. And that matters, believe it or not. Some of these guys, they don't care about football as much. It's means to an end. So keep an eye on that. Eric Murray back. Eric Berry back. Daniel Sorensen, I'm not a huge fan of right now, but if you bring in another safety.
Did you know that Daniel Sorensen still owns like two NFL like recent combine records for like the short shuttle and like the 60-yard shuttle, or the three cone and the 60-yard shuttle?
Does he really?
I'm dead serious. Yeah, I was just looking at that today.
That does not show up on tape.
I'll keep talking. I'll tell you in a second.
Oh my God. So he runs like, oh man, that's, I don't believe you.
BYU, 2014, he owns the three cone record with a 6.47, which is stupid good.
Where is that on tape?
And then also the 60 yard shuttle at 10.8. I don't know where it's on tape, but that's a perfect example of why the combine, looking through all of these records, combine records.
Maybe that's why
most of these guys aren't good.
Wow.
So DeMarcus Van Dyke, remember him?
I do.
4.28.
Wow.
What's he doing now?
Not playing football.
Yeah.
Interesting. The Chiefs should. I think there's some studs out there. I'd really like them to see him get a single high safety. That's why I love my guy Jesse Bates.
Those guys are harder to find, though.
They are harder to find, which is why, I mean, Jesse Bates, that's my guy. He's a really interesting dude. Chief Priest 25 on Twitter asks, do you see Deshaun Elliott as a fit with the Chiefs? Do you see him more as a free safety or a strong safety? I want to let you answer this one first, Jake.
Talked about two guys, Marcus Allen and Quinn Blanding, who I like Deshaun Elliott more than I like them, but they're all kind of in the same bubble for me, in that same range of guys that are good at football. Deshaun Elliott is a guy, like, he's a really smart football player. I think he's limited athletically. I think he could get away with him playing single high, but I don't know if you want to put him in that position. He's super opportunistic if you watch his tape. He makes a lot of plays, but it's usually because he's smart and he's in the right place at the right time, which is a skill. That's very good, but he doesn't have the athleticism that's going to pop off at you and be like, all right, this is our single high guy. But he's a guy that, yeah, he can come play football on my team. Like, that's fine.
My thing with Deshaun Elliott, my note on him was he's a master of none.
Yep.
Like, he's not like someone that has like a dynamic skill set. He's not a guy that he's got a lot of like rare abilities, and you're probably never gonna look at him and go, hey, that's Deshaun Elliott, all-pro safety. Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of glaring weaknesses though either.
Right. He's solid, sound, and safe. He's, you know,
I don't think I'd want him. What was the question? Free safety or strong?
That's kind of
what's really the difference nowadays. Anyways, unless you have a guy that can play single high, like an Earl Thomas type, like, yeah, that guy's a free safety. But for most schemes, I think it's pretty interchangeable.
I'm not sure he's a great fit for the Chiefs.
Yeah,
because if they're gonna play press man and they're like, he's not gonna be a single high. He's okay in the, like, kind of in the slot playing tight ends. Like, I'm not sure he's like a great fit. He's a fine football player. We'll see. I mean, we'll find out if the
that
Chiefs
would be a pick
him.
That I wouldn't be mad about it, but
I just shrugged my shoulders. Like,
but I wouldn't be upset about it either. Just kind of like, okay, like they must like him more than I do, and that's cool. I can see that.
I don't put guys like that on the draft miss list very often. Like, if I look at him and I say, yeah, he's fine, like where he's valued and stuff, sure. Like, I don't typically put guys like that on the draft miss list. He's whatever. For me personally, I know some other guys like him out there, so you might. I think Chief in Carolina might like him. Find him on. You should follow Chief in Carolina on Twitter too. If you're not, he's really good at what he does. He knows his stuff, and I've had a lot of fun just going back and forth with him. He's really talented as far as evaluating prospects. I digress. Chief Priest 25 asks also, can Lorenzo Carter be an edge steal for the Chiefs? in this draft like Justin Houston was. Okay. As an edge, the same way Justin Houston is, no. However, I am kind of interested in Lorenzo Carter as an edge prospect, like as a prospect in general. I'm not sure necessarily the same kind of way Justin Houston was a steal, but he's an interesting prospect. Jake, have you watched him yet?
Yeah, and I'm sitting here trying to rack my brain, and if I they're just different coming they're out way too. Carter's a little bit more of an athlete, which is crazy because Houston's a really good athlete.
He's not a traditional true edge necessarily. He's kind of a guy that can be moved a little bit around in a variety of ways, and he's kind of not necessarily like a traditional edge prospect. I like him though. He doesn't really fit my prototype as far as edge prospects are concerned, but I'm really intrigued by a guy that's like super long and athletic and can do a few different things. Like, I think you could find a role for him on the Chiefs. I don't think it's a Justin Houston role. I don't think it's a traditional edge role necessarily.
He's like in the 99th percentile as far as like his relative athleticism too.
He's a very good athlete.
But he's a guy that you're going to want to move around. He could probably line up inside, outside. He can cover a little bit. He can rush
a
little
bit. If you want him to.
So he'd be really fun.
That's kind of one thing.
He's good. Like, that'd be a really exciting pick for them. But comparing him to Justin Houston, I don't see that as much. I think they would use him, like you said, he'd be used a lot differently.
I like Lorenzo Carter. I don't value him the same way as a true edge. But like, he's intriguing. Like, I think he could set a good edge. I think he could give you some pass rush issues. He's kind of like, he might wind up being kind of like what Leonard Floyd, so what some people kind of looked at Leonard Floyd as, maybe kind of doing a little bit more. I don't know. We'll see. He's an interesting guy though. I do like him. Brett David Baker asks, who would you prefer with the 54th pick? Tim Settle, Deshaun Elliott, Durance Armstrong, or Mike Gesicki? Jake, you go first. Who do you think?
Out of those four?
Yeah.
Gesicki, for sure. I think I'm an upside guy. And I think Gesicki's got as much upside as anybody in this draft. And
people are going to be mad because I totally agree. But like, there's three other defensive prospects sitting there, and we're going with Mike Gesicki. But
I don't care.
I hands down score
100 on people.
Well, yeah,
they don't need a defense. I'll play corner.
That's my highest grade guy.
Yeah,
that's my of those four. That he's my highest grade right now.
Don't be a prisoner of the moment, too. Like, right.
The defense is going to be fine.
Yep,
the defense is going to be fine.
And
even if they don't
3 years,
defensive player,
like, think 3-4 years, think second contract. You're not going to be if you hit on Gesicki, and in 4 years you're not going to be sitting there thinking, oh shoot, who is
man,
that?
I wish
who
I
is that
got...
decent corner that we also could have had? You know what I mean? Just don't think that way.
Right, and I'm dead on with you there. Gesicki, someone comped him to someone I can't remember who it was, comped him to young Jimmy Graham. And that kind of makes a little bit of sense.
It
might be even a little bit more athletic than Jimmy Graham, which is saying a lot.
Yeah.
I like Gesicki's good. You guys all know what we
feel
about
them. They're just receivers.
They're receivers. They're big receivers. And I would love to see Mike Gesicki running free down the field on seam routes with all the stuff people are having to worry about with this Chiefs offense. Okay, real quick, let's see here. Sports Talk Brian asks, would you trade up in the first round? What would you be happy trading, and who would you take? Also, what is every position you would draft? that's a loaded question. I personally don't think I would trade up in the first round. I think I like where they're sitting. I think, actually, here's the funny thing. I think they should trade out of one of their third round picks, believe it or not. Grab an extra, I think you could get an extra fourth round pick trading out of the third round, trading back into the third round potentially. Cincinnati's a team to watch there. I kind of looked and see who could potentially do it. Cincinnati's a team that if they wanted to trade kind of up into the third round a little bit more, I think they have like pick 100, pick 112, something like that. I'm not really interested in that. As far as who they're looking at, edge, corner, D-line, safety, tight end, interior offensive line, running back. I think they should get better. I think you can get more dynamic on third down. Those are prospects. Those are positions I'm staring at.
I think they take a quarterback too.
Oh, they could. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense too. Actually, is bringing in a seventh round quarterback?
Because as a Chiefs fan, you're probably not used to this, but when you have a young stud quarterback, what a lot of teams tend to do is
we're not used to this.
So you take another young quarterback, and you know he's never going to play. So you try to you
keep
invest.
Taking flyers.
You try to flip him. You try to Matt Hasselbeck him, or you try to why can't I think of anyone else?
It's okay.
There's a lot more examples.
We get the point. We aren't used to
Jake
having
DeLome.
Oh,
that's a good reference.
We're not used to having good quarterbacks or young quarterbacks or quarterbacks that are our own. You know, there's a reason that a day after the Chiefs took Mahomes, there was a T-shirt rolling around that said we took a quarterback in the first round. That was a thing. I don't know if you knew that, Jake, but people were literally...
I had one. I got one. What do you mean if I knew? I got one.
Just to be ironic.
Yep.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, that quarterback, too, that makes a lot of sense. Actually, I think we're going to wind up talking about quarterbacks in the next couple weeks, kind of running them up against Pat and kind of seeing where we would value Pat compared to these guys, and also just kind of laugh at all the teams that are sitting there scrambling to try to trade up for a quarterback and, like, can't. Like, Buffalo is literally doing everything they can to get a quarterback, and they can't. And they literally had a chance to take Patrick Mahomes with their original pick. And they couldn't do it now. Like, they screw themselves. It's beautiful. I'm laughing. It's phenomenal. Okay. A couple more questions. Robbie Bennett asks, will you be disappointed if the Chiefs go offense heavy if they play the draft kind of by best player available? If the board falls that way, I don't think I would be mad as long as they pick up at least one or two on D.
Yeah, and we already kind of talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. With regard to best player available, they 100% need to be looking to do that. They need to be doing that at 54. Because I keep saying this, I'm going to continue to say this. If they stay at 54, someone you don't expect is going to be sitting there. It might be my cues, like Jake said earlier. It could be Isaiah Wynn. It could be somebody that you aren't expecting and we aren't talking about right now. They're at 54. And it could be offensive players. It could be. And if it is, I'm okay with that. Take the best player. You lost your first round pick. You need to maximize the value of the picks you have. I mean, anything that you
There's
disagree?
A reason best player available is a term that we talk about because the best teams do that.
Right.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
Like in an ideal world, best player available is going to match your need. And like, but that's not always the case. And so it's too easy to make sense. I mean, it makes too much sense to be anything else and people just mess it up.
Yep.
You know?
Boyar Chief asks, of all the prospects you reviewed, which would have the biggest impact for the 2018-19 season if taken with the Chiefs' first pick? So we're talking about prospects that are there at 54 or could potentially be there at 54.
And are going to come in and play, if I understand that right. So next year, as
make
a rookie,
impact,
who's going to come in?
As a rookie.
Okay.
Do you have one? I think I have one. I'll let you go first if you...
I would say like an offensive lineman, because those are the guys that typically can come in and dominate right away.
That's true.
And this is a really deep like guard class. I know that's not like a sexy pick, but like you want to say like a tight end like Gesicki, but you know what? Those guys don't develop and usually play that well their rookie year.
I think Gesicki could carve a role out quick though.
Yeah,
but I get
but
what
not
saying.
Like in like a specialty kind of way, but like or like a guy that's going to play every single offensive snap for you at guard.
Yeah. Will Hernandez, Isaiah Wynn. Yeah, that's a good guess. Justin Reed or Jesse Bates. Those are two guys that I think could have an impact early. Jesse Bates specifically as like a free safety, kind of free up the Chiefs to be able to kind of move Eric Berry around a little bit more. That's a guy I think he can make an impact quick. I like his instincts. He's still young. If he takes the coaching well, man, he could have a very successful rookie year. That's it for the mailbag questions. We'll probably do this in a couple weeks. Thank you guys so much for asking questions. If we missed you, just hit me up again. I'll try to answer your question maybe on Twitter, or maybe we'll just save it for another episode. We've got one more thing to do, and that is the scouting term of the week.
This is one of my personal favorites. So we were talking about Mike Hughes earlier, and what he possesses is for a small guy, and the term is heavy hands. So when you're saying, like, this guy's got heavy hands, it's when their hands hit you, you're moving the opposite direction, or he has, like, a really good strike. So Mike Hughes is a corner that does it. Typically, I would use this to describe, like, guard play quite a bit, or
this,
tackle play.
This is a very position-versatile scouting term.
It is.
Very.
You would typically wouldn't say it for, like, a receiver.
No.
You know, like Tyreek's got, he's a good blocker. He's got really heavy hands.
Struggles to get his hands up trying to catch the ball.
But like Will Hernandez, heavy hands. When he places his hands on you, shoulder pads are popping. They're moving backwards. We kind of talked about this last week with Nathan Shepard too. Heavy hands. Phillips, heavy hands. Like those types of guys, it's a skill that not everyone has. You don't have to have it to be good, but it's one that you typically see guys, like those are grown men out there. Like, and they usually have like big hands that do it too. So heavy hands is a term. You know, we've joked about some of our ones in the past, like Body Beautiful and Bubble, but heavy hands is actually like a really solid term. I really like the term heavy hands.
I do not have heavy hands. I have little girl hands.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Fact.
I try to keep my hands in my pockets at all times because it's an embarrassment to
society.
You know
what else has heavy hands? Grandpas. Grandpas can,
yes,
because like, I'm telling you, like my grandpas could pull nails out of boards like with their bare hands. I don't know how they could do it, or like unscrew something like into a board.
My grandpa has arthritis like me. I have arthritis already. I'm 29 years old. I have arthritis. My grandpa has arthritis, but he's got heavy hands, and I would not want to go near those things. They're still terrifying, and he's in his 70s.
Shout out to all the grandpas out there.
Shout out to grandpas and
listening to the podcast.
Who do you think has the heaviest hands on the Chiefs? Just guessing. I think I know, but
Chris Jones.
Ooh, that's a good one. I was gonna go Justin Houston.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
when he uses his heavy hands to set those edges, man. Tomba had heavy hands.
Yep.
Good for Tomba.
Pouring out for Tomba.
Yeah, pouring out for Tomba. It's okay. He had a good run.
Yep.
He made a lot of money at the end of his career. That's it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We got 5 more weeks until draftmas season is over. You can find me on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. If you want to talk more Chiefs draft, you can find Jake at Jacob Morley. We will be back next week talking about more prospects.
I want to hear from some grandpas this week talking about heavy hands.
If we have any grandpas that listen. Okay, actually, hold on real quick. Sidebar. We had someone from Hayes, Kansas.
Yep.
We asked anybody from Hayes to reach out to us last week. Thank you.
Hey, who was that? Give him a shout out for actually doing it. Hold on. I got it right here. His name was... man, I don't know.
Any grandpas with heavy hands, reach out to us this week.
Oh, did that. So, MJ Klein at Klein Time MJ.
Thanks. Boom. Thanks, man. Thanks.
We'll give you a shout out.
Thanks for reaching out. And if any grandpas with heavy hands are listening, that's a very small, narrow demographic. If you are, reach out. Love to use those
heavy hands to send us a tweet. Don't break your phone, though.
Yeah, man. Yeah, perfect. There you go. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Be sure to check out The Chief in the North on Monday, the Arrowhead Pride podcast on Wednesday, and we will be back on Friday to talk more draft prospects. Catch you later, guys.